Welcome to the Journey Church podcast. Whether you've never stepped foot in a church before, or you wanted to hear Sunday sermon one more time, thank you for listening. It's our prayer that you find this message encouraging and that it helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Let's get into it.
What up, Journey? How you feeling today?
Feeling good.
Good to see you. It's beautiful outside today, and so we're going to have a good day in church. We are ending our sermon series today through the book of Proverbs, a little honesty time. How many of y'all started with us the second or the first, whatever day it was, and you're finishing up tomorrow, chapter number 29? Put your hand held high. How many of y'all didn't do it? You were like seven chapters in, you're like, I just didn't do it. I appreciate your honesty, too. If you didn't raise one of two hands, you're either a visitor or you suck, and so... just didn't. And so I wasn't here last week, so I can say whatever I want. And so I'm just joking with you. We're going to finish today. Next week, some of you are like type A people. Everybody at 8 o'clock is type A, by the way. And so some of you are type A people. You're like, what are we doing? We're going to finish this sermon series. We're going to jump to a New Testament book, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And 1st and 2nd Corinthians is basically a book written to a church that is acting like a Jerry Springer episode. And so if you want to get ahead and read about it, Paul is writing to a church in Greece, started this church in Corinth. It's more, they're struggling with the understanding of Christianity. It's more philosophy than it is life change. And so we're going to call this sermon series Christian-ish. You know what I'm talking about? Like some people are Christian, like ish. You don't really know what you are, and we're gonna have a fun time unpacking that book of the Bible together over the next few weeks. Also, next Sunday starts Journey Summer, and so we're gonna do 10 weeks of just fun stuff. And some of you are gonna be on vacation during these 10 weeks. But next week's Baptism Sunday, followed by Family Reunion. Where if you come to church on family reunion, usually we do them together, but in all honesty, the park was already reserved. We couldn't do it. And so we're like, let's just make them separate. So next week, baptisms. Week after that, family reunion. You come to church, you get a t-shirt, and we have church, and then we'll all be at a park together if you want to come. It's fun. It's literally 700, 800, 900 people showing up to a local park in the same t-shirt. We look like a cult. It's my favorite. It literally, lots of explanations, you know, we don't normally do this, right? Stuff like that. And so, but it's super fun. There's stuff for everybody there. So make sure you're there in that. And then we just have cool stuff going on all through the summer. And so let's end today's sermon series on the book of Proverbs. And the title of my message today is Say Less, Hear More. Everybody say, say less,
say less.
Hear more.
Hear more.
We're going to talk about the art of listening. The art of listening. I want to read you just a few Proverbs. Proverbs 18:2. And I noticed as I read through here, because I did do what I asked you to do. And so I'm right on target. And I noticed as I read through, there was a lot of instances where it talked about fools and being fast or quick to speak and quick to share your opinion, right? And so like watch what it says in Proverbs 18. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. That is a relevant Bible verse for our culture. We live in a culture where it's almost celebrated. Share your truth. Share your opinion. Use your voice. Your voice matters. And the Bible says, maybe, but fools, they spend their whole life telling everybody what they know. Anybody like that in here, by the way? It's hard for me not to tell people what I know. Like, if I'm in a conversation with somebody and they say something that I know is wrong, I am praying that I have the opportunity to let them know they're wrong. If I think it's wrong, I'll quick get my phone out to confirm that it's wrong, and then I'll let them, anybody, like, even before, they might not even ask me my opinion, but I want to share my knowledge with them because my knowledge is from the Lord. Anybody else? Okay. Verse number 13 in Proverbs 18 says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. To answer before listening. So Proverbs 29, you'll get there tomorrow if you're on task with us, says it like this. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. And here's what's so interesting. From a young age, we are taught inadvertently that your voice being heard is the most important thing. Let me ask you this. How many of you have kids in this place? Kids in this place. Did anybody in this room over-document everything your kids ever did? Anybody? Everything. Like your kids stepped, you're like, document. First potty, document. First, like everything. Some of you are good like that. Like you have videos of your kids, okay? Anybody in here, you have videos when your kids were little. Come on. None of you? You guys are awful parents then. And so, right? I wish I had more videos of my kids when they were, because sometimes I can't remember what they were like. And so anybody in this room, document the first time your two-year-old sat and listened. Anybody? You're like, this is an amazing breakthrough. I need to call his doctor. When you go to the doctor, they don't even ask you about that. They're like, have they walked? Yes. Okay, they're on track. Have they talked? Yes. How many words are they saying? Do they listen? What? Like, it's not celebrated. One of my best memories with Harrison out here in this hallway. We were in this hallway. He was probably 1 year old, and me and my wife were sitting out there. I don't know why we were sitting out there. It's super echoey out there, and we were having a contest to see who could get him to say their name most. And so she would say mama, but he was wanting to irritate him or her. And so she would say mama, and he knew that she wanted him to say mama, so he would say dada. And he said it really loud. And as he's saying it, and it's echoing the hallway, I got it on video somewhere. I'm like, hold on. Let's document this, right? When the truth is, even at 11 years old, at some point I should have documented his inability to listen. Like from a young age, we're taught, share your words. In fact, the average person speaks about 7,000 words a day, right? And talking for us does the same thing in our brains neurologically as eating food and having money. Like hearing our own voice, sharing our own opinion, it does the same thing. You know, when you eat, you're like, yes. And when you have money, you're like, uh-huh, right? Hearing your own voice, sharing your own opinion, telling people what you know, it does the same thing in your life. We're taught, talk all the time. Raise your hand in class. Share what you know, right? Let people know your opinion. Let people know what you're asking. They're asking, like, tell people your truth. We spend all of our time focusing on learning to talk. And here's what I want to... I think you can impress people with your talk. I think if you want to impress people, man, talk. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about. You spend all week trying to find something impressive to post on Facebook. All week. Impress it, right? Right? If you want to make an impression, talk. If you want to make an impact, you got to learn to listen. Let me say it to you again. And I knew this wasn't going to be a popular message, but I don't want you to be a fool. If you want to impress other people, learn big words, ask ChatGPT how to say things. Share your opinion, share your knowledge, share what you've been through. Before they ask, give it to them. Even if they don't ask, ask lead-in questions so that you can give them your opinion. If you want to impress people, talk. If you want to make an impact on people's lives, you got to learn the art of listening. And it's weird for me because in Bible college, I'm a pastor. My goal was impact. My goal was not to impress you. I gave up on that a long time ago. I can't. My goal was to preach messages that have impact, to be a pastor that has a church with impact, to be somebody whose life has impact. And when I went to Bible college, there wasn't one class. They were like, we're going to teach you the art of listening. I'm just going to sit here awkwardly. And you're going to listen. Nobody had time for that. I'm not paying $700 a credit to listen. Teach me hermeneutics. Teach me exegesis. Teach me eisegesis. Teach me Greek. Greek me. Somebody like, what is all this? I don't know. Those are things we learned at school. Like, teach me those things. Don't teach me the art of listening. But the Bible over and over and over again, even the way we're created. Let me just ask you, how many mouths do you have? Some of you, it's bigger than others, but you still have one. How many ears you have? How many mouths?
One.
How many ears?
Two.
It's almost like the Lord was trying to tell us something in our creative genius design. Like even James. So James, Old Testament, Proverbs, so much wisdom. James, New Testament. It's a book of wisdom. And James says it like this. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Write this down, right? Apply this to your life. Now, did you notice the word? What's that first word say right there?
Everyone.
What does it say?
Everyone.
So here's what I want to say to you, Refess. If you're a wife in this place, don't you dare be neighbor and your elbow and your husband saying, this message is for you. Told you don't listen. If you have a teenager in this place, because they ain't sitting by you anyways. Just you already sent them a text though. You need to be dad or teenager. You need to be listening to this, right? Some of you are already planning. Like you have a boss, don't listen to you. You're already planning to reshare this message, right? Talking about how it blessed you so much. I hope it blesses you, George, right? You're already planning. And the Bible says, it says the word. It's so important, right? James is telling us, really practical. He says the word, what is it? Everyone. Look at your neighbor. Say, you. You. Everybody look at your neighbor. Say, you. Look at your other neighbor. Your second choice. You know what I'm talking about? And so I didn't want to tell you this because I saw your face earlier. Look at them now and say, he's talking to you. Now look at yourself if you can. And remind yourself, everyone should be, watch what it says, quick to listen, slow to
speak.
We could fix the entire world in a day if we applied this. Everyone should be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry. Which, by the way, if you're a better listener, you're probably becoming less angry. You see, men's inability to communicate is often a result in his failure to know how to listen effectively. In fact, here's what they found. Most of the time when somebody's talking to you, you're only picking up about 25% of what they're saying. One of the reasons is most people only speak 125 words to 130 words or 150 words, depending on some of you, a minute, right? But the brain can listen to 1,000 to 3,000 words per minute. And so when they're not talking fast enough, you're going other places because they're not doing a good job of communicating. And here's what else they found. As somebody's talking to us, me and you, 17 seconds into the conversation, you're like, I can fix this. You ever been there with somebody? Somebody comes in, they start talking to you, and you're like, can you just bullet point this? Never done that? Can we just get to the point? If you tell me to the point, then I can fix it because I'm a problem solver, right? And then you ever do that to your wife? How does it go for you? Go well? We just wrap this thing up. Your boss, somebody comes knocking at your door. It's the worst sound in the world, right? And they come and talk, and you're like, I'm busy. Your kids come. You're like, I'll just solve the problem. Seven, you're grounded, right? Like, this is it, right? 17 seconds in, we're not good at listening. And so what I want to teach you, because I don't know about you, but when I say the word impact, I want to really focus on this over the next few months. If you're a Christian and you're following Jesus Christ and you're on this earth still after you started following Jesus Christ, the only reason you're here is because he wants you to have impact. There is nothing else of value for you on this earth. I don't know if you notice this or not, but crap is hitting the fan. Have you noticed that? We might do a sermon series on the book of Revelation, but I don't know what it means, so I don't want to do it, right? And so I'm just telling you, get ready. The only reason that you're on this earth after you decide to follow Jesus Christ is for impact. If you're here, you want impact. You want impact in your family, in your business, in your school, on the team that you're in, when you go to Wawa, when you go to Giant, wherever you shop, wherever you go to hang out, when you're on vacation, everywhere you go, you want impact for the kingdom of God and his glory. That is why that you are here. I need to do a better job, make sure of making you know that. I say that all the time. If you're here, you're here to make a difference. And the only way you can make a difference, listen, a great voice can fill a room, right? You can fill a room, but great ears can change a life. A good listener can change a life. And I want to show you this through the example of Jesus. I think Jesus is the best listener that ever lived. And what's interesting is his example is in 3 years. And so if there was ever somebody who didn't have time to listen to people, it was Jesus. He's on a mission. He's going to the cross to die. He don't have time to listen to you. What do you have to say to him? He already knows the truth, and the truth can set you free. If I'm Jesus, I'm just laying down facts everywhere I go. But the fact of the matter is Jesus, you can document it. He was asked about 138, 140 questions by people. Jesus spent his life asking about 300 questions. You think he had anything of value he was trying to figure stuff out? I think he was setting for us a course, an example, a course of action. As we seek to be good listeners, because listeners impact people's lives. And you're on this earth for impact. So what I want to do is I want to give you one example in John chapter 5, verse number 1. It starts like this. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. So I don't have a lot of time to explain this to you, but Jesus spent all of his time in the Middle East. He would often go back to Jerusalem, and when he went back there, oftentimes it would be for Jewish festivals. So we don't really know which one from this passage. Maybe we could do some more digging. But he's going back for a party. He's going back for a festival. He's going back to celebrate something. And the Bible says when he goes back in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate is a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. And so there's a pool. It's called Bethesda, and it's surrounded by colonnades, an old Roman building, right? And so here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. So people who were in problems, couldn't walk, couldn't see, needed help, lied around this pool, right? One who had been there had been an invalid for 38 years. So there's one guy there. He's been there for 38 years. How many years? 38. I need you to remember this, right? When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" The man says, "I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and they walked. There's so much you could do with this. You could say, man, 38 years of suffering, one moment with Jesus, everything changes. That'll preach, amen? Amen. Like one moment in God's presence. But there's an art here. There's an example here. There's a message here. So what I want to teach you is how to listen like Jesus. How to listen like Jesus. Number one, first thing you got to do, you're going to see how practical these are. First thing you got to do, you got to stop. Now I'm going to ask you something real fast. Maybe not you guys. Maybe nobody in here. But I bet if you're like me, it's hard to stop. Anybody else important in here? You got stuff to do. You got people to take care of. You got agendas to go to. You got a checklist to take care of. You got grass to mow. You got social media to scroll. You know what I'm talking about? I got to get gas today. I got to get my car washed. I got to armor all the inside of my car. I got to go do this. I got to do that. I got to get here. I don't have time to stop ever. You want to talk to me? You're going to have to walk with me. You know what I'm talking about? Walk with me, right? Say it. Get to the point, right? Like I'm not going to stop. And I'm going to be honest with you. There is nobody here that is on the road to Calvary to die on the cross for the sins of the world. In other words, you're not that important. Should I say it again? You're not even busy. You just say you're busy because you've made yourself busy. It's not like God is like, you know what I want to give you? Busyness. There's not one person, God's like, I'm going to give you the gift of busyness, right? But every person, myself, what are you? Well, I'm so busy, right? I don't got time to stop. Jesus, on the road to Calvary, dying for the sins of the world, 3 years on this earth, knows every day is a gift from God. Clock is ticking down, man. He knows what's coming. And in the middle of it, he's on the way to a festival, to a party, and he intentionally shows us how to listen. The first thing you got to do is you got to be willing to stop. He stopped. It's not like he walks by and he's like, literally, he's like, I'm going to stop at the pool of Bethesda. There's somebody there that I need to listen to. And you see this in his life over and over and over again. He's walking in a big crowd. A woman with an issue of blood touches him. And the Bible says he stops. He figures out where she's at. He has a conversation with her. He listens to her. He's walking down Jericho. Everybody's there to celebrate him. They're having a parade for Jesus. He's in Jericho. He sees a wee little man, Zacchaeus. Remember that story? And Zacchaeus is up in a tree, a wee little Zacchaeus. And the Bible says he stops and he says, I'm coming to your house today. He goes to a well. He meets a woman at the well at 12 o'clock, the Bible says, at noon. And he stops and he has a conversation with her. The art of listening always begins with stopping. In fact, I have an acronym for you. Stopping. Stop totally other priorities. Stop total. Let me just give you some classic examples from my own life, because I know you guys don't do this. Anybody have kids that ask way too many questions? Like, just nonstop. By the way, it's sad because then they turn into teenagers and they don't even want to talk to you. But when they're little, you're like, can you just stop for a second? And then when they're teenagers, you're like, can you just talk to me for a second, right? And I don't know if you have little kids or not now, but when I was growing up, my kids would be in the car. Me and my wife would run in. I was thinking about this. She would run into a store, and we'd be in the car, and they'd be with me, and they'd be in the back seat. And my first reaction when my wife ran into the car was not to turn around and to have a conversation with my kids. It was to get my phone out and scroll. And then they would have a conversation with me, and I'd be like, yeah, stop. I'm scrolling. Right? Or maybe your phone is not your thing. Maybe you're like, I killed that. I'm better than you. Right? Because some people have. They're like going back to flip phones, all that stuff. Like, I keep saying it, and I'm like, no, I can't. And so, but I remember years ago, my kids were littler. Like, when you come home when they're littler, and your wife's maybe been there all day or whatever, but you've been by yourself, one of you, and she was there by herself, it's like a full contact sport in your house. And I remember coming home a couple times, and we got in fights. And the reason we got in fights is she would be maybe in the kitchen, and I would come walking in, and, hey, how you doing? But I would stop at the mailbox before I came in because I'm a multitasker. I'm smart. And I would grab the mail on the way in. And I'd come into the room she was at, and I would ask her how she was doing. And as I asked her how she was doing and she was answering, I'm opening up my mail at the same time. And I was shocked she had a problem with that. She told me one time, can you just wait to open the mail? Can you not check the mail and just come in and say hi and then later on go? Which I thought that was the most ridiculous ask in the history of the world. You want me to drive by the mailbox with the mail in, come in and say hi to you first, and then walk back up my driveway to get the mail to bring it back in? That is not killing two birds with one stone. No, I can't do that. Fights ensued. Because oftentimes when she would talk, everything else is still a priority in my life. You ever have somebody try to talk to you? Maybe you work with, and as they're talking to you, you're typing away on your computer, like, I'm listening. You're what? You have to stop. You ever try to talk to your teenager, and they're in the middle of scrolling, and you get mad at them? You'd be, look up, young man. Disrespect me, right? And then you flash back to your car, to the example that they've seen their whole life as they asked you questions, and very rarely, because you're busy. See, the art of listening, first thing you got to do is you got to learn the art of stopping, getting rid of all other priorities. You see, when someone is your priority, they know it, and it makes communication easier and more natural. Like, think about how many times. I remember one time this pastor came in, and he was like, hey, we want to come in from and learn from your staff. So he brought his staff in, and my staff was there. We were in this back room, and we were sitting in a circle. And he comes in, and he's like, I want to learn. We want to learn. And he's asking us questions. And the whole time he's asking us questions, he's on his phone. And I was like, oh, are you taking notes? He was like, no, I'm answering emails. And I remember when he left, I was like, what the heck happened? And then his church closed a year later. It was weird. And so should have listened. But it was the weirdest thing. Like, you ask to have a conversation, but then you never stop all other priorities. And I don't know if you're not like this. Maybe it was just first service, not you guys. But it feels like it's almost impossible to do that now, doesn't it? It feels like there's always something trying to get our attention. There's always something trying to distract us. You see, great listeners are not easily distracted. In fact, one man said it like this. He said, one of the greatest gifts you can give anyone is the gift of your undivided attention. Write it down. The gift, the most important part of your life oftentimes is the person sitting right in front of you. First thing you got to do is you got to stop. Number two, this isn't going to sound like communication, when I start, because communication oftentimes, when I talk about listening, is here. But the second thing you'll notice with Jesus is not only do you stop, but you have to look. You have to look. You have to make eye contact. The Bible says here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who had been there for 38 years was there, and he was lying. And the Bible says Jesus sees him. He sees him. He sees him lying there. In other words, he's paying attention not just with his ears, but his eyes, his body, his heart. Everything is connected to this moment. A significant portion of conversation is nonverbal. A significant portion is listening, not just with your ears, but with your full body. In fact, in school, they call this whole body listening. You ever been around somebody who's not a whole body listener? I was laughing at them in the first service. I said, I have teenagers. They never whole body listen. Trying to have a serious conversation. I was thinking of Lincoln. Lincoln got his ears pierced a couple months ago. We're in that phase now. And so looks cooler. I got my ear pierced one time. Didn't work. And so he looks cooler than me. I'll give him that. And so, but now every time you're talking to him, every time you're trying to have a serious conversation, he sits there. He just. But, I mean, it's all. You'll be like, stop. And I'll be like, I'm listening, right? You're like, no, you're touching, right? Or Carter or something. Like if you ever talk to, like Carter's 17 now. He's you know, going to be 18. He's figuring out life. Sometimes you talk to him and he's listening, but he's like sitting there like this and he's rubbing his like this, like you're hurting his head. And then it'll be like, listen to me. I'll be like, I'm listening, right? Or slouched, right? And there's an art to listening. They teach it in elementary school. It's called whole body listening, right? Your brain is thinking. Your eyes are on the speaker. You know what I'm talking about? Your ears are listening. Your mouth is silent. Your body is facing the person who's talking. Your hands are down. They're not playing with anything, right? Which I do that all the time. Your heart is caring. It's attentive to the person. And your feet are on the floor. Great listening is easy to spot. I can do a staff meeting and tell you who's listening and who's not. I can preach in a service. I can preach to the 9:30 service and tell you this person's listening and this person is gone. Right? Like you can feel it in full body listening. Like you laugh, kind of, right? And this is a hard service to get laughter from. And so you're listening. You ever been around somebody, you're talking to them, you're sharing something and the whole time they're. Just keeps going. You're like, wow. If I had something, I would just. And they're like, you're not listening. Or you sit with somebody like, hey, let's talk. And the whole time they don't have their notebook out. Like there's not, there is an art to listening. There's an art. You can ask, if you're a husband, ask your wife how good you are at this. If your wife starts talking, you're like, oh God. I've worked 7 hours today. 7 hours. You know what I'm talking about. We don't do 8-hour shifts no more. Stop. I worked 7 hours today from my home office in my pajamas. I'm exhausted. I'm just messing around. I'm just jealous of you if you do that. And so, and you're like, I don't have time. And you're like, just talk. Just go ahead. And she's talking to you, and you're like, how's it going to go for you? Try this next time. This is. I told you about crockpotting years ago. This is crockpotting. And so if you don't know what crockpotting is, go watch the Dating Marriage series. But next time she says, let's have a talk, be like, yes. I couldn't wait for this moment. And you grab her hand, you're like, do you want your heated blanket, right? And you sit there and you're like, hold on, let me get out my, I'm being ridiculous now, but could you imagine if you sat there with her and you're like, go ahead, I cannot wait to have this conversation with you. And I don't want to fix whatever's wrong with you. I just love spending time listening to your voice. It might go well for you that night. Right? Like, I'm not saying do it with an agenda, but it might happen, right? And so you need to stop. You need to have full body listening when it comes to that person. If you have a teenager, some of you are like, I don't like the way my teenager acts. I'm just talking a lot about teenagers, but when's the last time you gave them that? Like, I just want to talk with you. You have a young kid. I just want to listen to you. When's the last time you sat with somebody that works for you and said, let's just talk. Let's figure out what's going on in your life. I'm going to give you my undivided attention. I'm going to stop. I'm going to look. Number three, learn. The Bible says that he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. Now, let me ask you something. You think he was wearing a t-shirt? And it was like, have not walked for 38 years. You think so?
No.
You think he had a Facebook post, started a GoFundMe, right? Help a brother get in a pool, right? Throw me, do whatever you got to do. Roll me, throw me, whatever. Like, I don't think Jesus just walked by and was like 38 years. I think he knew that, but I don't think that's how it worked. I don't think he just walked by and was like, psh. How do you think Jesus did it? I've talked about this before. So when you communicate with your kid, like so if you have a little kid, have you ever tried to communicate like this and they're talking and you're like, say it. And you're talking down to them. Does that ever go well?
No.
Right, no, because I've tried that. My youngest son is playing baseball right now and he's not having a great year. And I have a problem with that because he has like $1,000 worth of baseball equipment in his bag. So when we get in the car, I tend to want to talk about it. Swing the bat. Stop ducking. It costs this much money. I let them know, this costs this much money. It cost me my whole weekend. You think I want to come out here and watch this, right? It don't work. And then we went to the baseball and it didn't work. And so then we got home, and then I looked at my sermon yesterday. I was like, I got to look at this, get ready, you know, prepared. I looked at my notes, and I was like, shh, I'm a hypocrite. So I called him up, and we sat on the edge of my bed, and then we kind of got comfortable. And then I had a real conversation where I asked him real questions. What's going on, man? Why aren't you swinging that bat? I still went the same route. You know how much money that is. But but it was a different approach, and it was a conversation. Questions, not just questions to lead so I could talk, but questions to learn. And they don't say this about Jesus, but I cannot imagine him walking by and being like, look like you've been sitting there for a while. 38 years. What? 38 years. How do you think he did it? How do you think Jesus communicated with the guy who can't walk? I think he sat down. I think he looked this guy. I think his disciples were like, what are you doing, Jesus? We got to get to the festival. And Jesus is like, I got time for this. And I think he asked him questions, and I think he finds out, man, you've been sitting there for 38 years. Because he also finds out, after he finds out, he's like, what's going on? And the guy's like, I've been trying to get in this pool, and every time I try to get in the pool, somebody else beats me. So I'm like, what does that mean? Well, in that culture, archaeologists have found that the pool of Bethesda had a top level and a bottom level, and what they think is there was a pipe that was passed through, and water used to be passed through that pipe, and it would make inadvertent bubbles in the pool, and people thought when the bubbles happened in this pool that the angel of the Lord was stirring it, and the first person to get into that pool after the bubbles could get healed. So for most of us, when we listen to somebody and they tell us that, we'd be like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You've been waiting 38 years to get into a bubble pool? But Jesus doesn't do that. In fact, there's a verse in Proverbs that I love that says it like this. In Proverbs 20, it says, verse number 5, it says, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. The purpose, I love that. The purpose of a person's heart, if you want to get into the depth of a person's life, you got to go into the heart. That's where the purpose is. And one who has insight, who's a good listener, draw. Some of you are like, I have a kid, I don't understand them. You got to be better at listening. I just don't get my wife. She's crazy, Pastor. I've heard that before. It's probably because you're not a good listener. I don't understand my husband. He doesn't even want to talk to me. Let me just, can I preach to the wives for a second? Because I'll be picking on the husbands. I don't want, my husband won't talk to me because you're not a safe space. He's told you something before and you've used it to attack him in a fight, and now he does not consider you a safe space. And so your job is to go back and say, my bad. I want my husband to open up. Okay. Then be somebody who's trustworthy. Like, be a good, you want to make an impact? Learn how to listen. You're going to learn. You're going to stop. You're going to look. Let me just give you one more thought. Number four. The result of this. You stop. You look. You learn. Right? You ask good questions. Right? Not just how are you. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever asked somebody how are you, and the only reason you're asking that is because that's the only thing you know how to say, and then they start telling you, like, I didn't really care. Not like, because that's not how we work. Like, real questions. Like, how's it going for you? Like, what are you dreaming about right now? What's something that you're focused on? How did you spend your week? Like, real questions. Like, real questions that tell somebody, I want to learn and hear about your situation. And what happens is when you become a hear somebody who listens like Jesus, is after you go through those, you stop, you look, you learn, then you get to the point that all of us want. You earn. You earn. And let me just tell you, like, so I was on a quote unquote staycation this week. And so we were looking for stuff to do one day. And I was like, we haven't been to Pottstown for a long time. Let's try there. So we went to Pottstown, we ate this really good restaurant, like really good. If it was in Phoenixville, it'd be the best restaurant in Phoenixville. And so I don't even know what it's called, but it was good. And went to this restaurant, and then we were leaving and we're walking out, and two young kids are walking down the sidewalk, middle of the day, it's 100 degrees outside. They have black pants on. They have white collared short sleeve shirts on. You know what I'm talking about? I don't trust anybody that wears a short sleeve dress shirt. You know what I'm talking about? Like, nah. And they had ties on. And I could see them in the distance. They come walking down. And they get by me. I'm like, they're Mormons, they're Jehovah's Witness, or something like that. And they walk by and they're like, this was their approach. They're out on a hot day, ties, all this stuff, dressed like that. And they're like, you want to come to my church? I'm like, I don't trust you, man. No, I don't trust those shirts. And so, and I was like, so they asked a couple people, you want to come to my church? What do you think they said? It wasn't like one person was like, yes, today is my day. Right? Everybody was like, no. They got to me. I was like, I got a church, man. And so and they're like, cool, if you ever want to come to our church. And I was like, I don't. And so kindly, I said, but I got a church. I'm a pastor. They're like, good. When you want to get saved, come to our church. And so and I just think, like, that's so funny to me, because it's like, I want to have impact. I want to earn a spot to welcome in our church. And here's how we go. You want to go to my church? Or, hey, let's walk by somebody. You look like you're going to hell. How do you know that? Just have that look to you, right? Has that ever worked? Let me stand up here in the middle of the corner, busy corner. Let me tell everybody what they're doing wrong. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God, eternal life, Christ Jesus our Lord. Just be like us. And I don't know that Jesus ever did that. He walks by, he stops. He stops. Everybody else is going to a festival, he stops. He looks. He spends time sitting by the guy, he's learning. And then, because I think if Jesus would have walked by, no conversation, and he would have said, 38 years, get up and walk, and just kept walking, I think that dude's like, what? I've been trying, right? Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. That is a bold thing to say to somebody, but I think he earns that position in his life. He sits them, he learns, he hears about it, and then he says to him, let's pick up your mat and walk. And I don't know what it was. I think maybe it was like, hey, let's go. I don't know that Jesus was like, do it. I think he was like, yeah, let's go, man. And he earns this trust in his life. He picks them up. And the guy rolls up his mat that he's been laying on for 38 years, and they walk together, maybe to the festival, we don't know. And I just think there's like every person in here wants impact, every person. And we overvalue our voice. We overvalue our opinion. We overvalue our smarts and our own wisdom. And we undervalue simplicity. And sometimes the simplest things in our life are things that everybody else misses. The art of listening to other people. Not listening so you can share, listening so you can have impact in other people's lives. And let me tell you something. If you're on this earth, that is the goal of your life. It is impact. I want to make a difference for God's kingdom. I want to be in my neighborhood. I want to have impact. In my work, I want to have impact. In my sports leagues, I want to have impact. When I go to college, I want to have impact. In my high school, I want to have impact. In my family, I want to have impact. I want to have impact. I want to do things for your glory and build your kingdom. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think there's anything that looks more like the heart and the character of God than somebody who's a good listener. In fact, I want you to stand up. I want to read you just one more verse as we close in prayer. And I don't know why this verse hit me this week. Because I think a lot of us don't understand the character of God, which I didn't know they were singing that song today about a friend that we have in Jesus. That's one of my favorite older songs that we've sang. And I didn't know they were singing that. I didn't plan this message with that song. But I love it because it's dealing with the misconceptions of who God is. And I think a lot of us struggle with that. We think religion, we think rules, we think he's so far out there, and the Bible's constantly going against us, saying, I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So the psalmist, in Psalms 116, I believe, he writes this about God, and I think it is so connected to the art of listening. He says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy. Watch what it says. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. He's talking about the character of God. So listening is a reflection of who God is. And I want you to think about this. What do you have to offer God? Any prayers that are, he's like, I needed that today. Any words that are impressive to him? He literally is running the world. He holds the world in his hands. And the Bible implies through the psalmist, when you speak to him, he turns his ear to you so you can trust him and know that you can keep speaking. He's a listening God. And I love that because if you want impact and you want to show people the character of God, then listening makes you look like God to other people. It changes everything. And the reason I want to preach on it is because I am awful at it, anybody else? And we live in a world that's awful at it. As the world gets crazier, I don't know if you notice this or not. If you don't got your stuff right, get it right. That's all I'm gonna say. I don't know what's going on. It's crazy. Like if I knew, I would tell you. But I know the Bible says that there'll be wars and rumors of wars and floods, and China just had the worst flood in their modern history or known history. There's wars, there's nuclear power plants, or bombs getting blown up. Like it is a crazy world that we live in. And the Bible says when those things start to happen, know that the time is short. And if the time is short, then the church needs to wake up even more. And it's the church that's going to be effective and impactful. It's not going to be the loud church. It's going to be the church that looks like Jesus. That gets their eyes fixed on him. That focuses on what they should be focused on. That doesn't convince themselves, I'm too busy. I got too much going on. No, you've set that course in your life. I've set that course. No, we need to get readjusted. We need to get reevaluate. We need to get our eyes refixed on who and what we're called to be. Amen? And I'm telling you this message has the ability to change not only your family, your marriage, your business, has the ability to change the world. I'm going to be a listener. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? Lord, I love you. And Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it could redirect and correct areas of our life that need to be corrected. Lord, it could cause us to adjust. It could cause us to evaluate. The power of the word is in the application. So that as you speak to us and there's conviction in our spirit and there's correction that's happening, Lord, we don't harden our heart and say no, but Lord, we say yes to you. And Lord, then we evaluate. We want to walk by your spirit. We want to live with your power. We want to live with your purpose. Lord, we want to be a place that's filled with impact, not in this room solely, Lord, but this is actually the quietest this church will be all week. Lord, we're people that want impact in our life for your kingdom and your glory. So I pray right now that you would create in us a heart of a listener, a heart that looks like Jesus. Maybe you're in this place and the Lord's speaking to you right now. That message in Psalms that you can cry out to him and his ears will turn to you. It's so profound. God doesn't need anything from you, yet wants you. He wants you so much that he sent his only son to die on a cross for your sins. He did it so he can have a relationship with you. And the Bible says if you would call to him, he would answer. That is what this place is about. It is not about religion. It is not about rules. It is not about tradition. It is about the opportunity to have a relationship with the one true living God. He created us. He knows us. He wants to mold us. He wants to work in and through our lives. That's when life on this earth has a purpose. And it always starts with the relationship with him. And the Bible says it like this. He says, here I am. I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Would you let me in? He's done everything to get to you. It's a decision you need to make. Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you forgive my sins? The Bible says if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't got to go to a class. You don't got to come back in a few weeks after you cleaned yourself up. No, no. Jesus is real. He's here right now. I can feel him knocking at the door of my heart. Jesus, would you come into my life? And the Bible says when you call to him, he will answer you. He will answer you. Come on, if you're in this place, you don't know Jesus Christ. I don't know Jesus Christ, but I want to. I want to pray a simple prayer with you as we close. I want you to remember this day. This is the day that I turn my life over to God, that I stop running, that I stop trying to be my own Lord and my own Savior. And I cried out to Jesus and he answered. Come on, if that's you all over this house, nobody's looking around. You would say, Pastor, that's me. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me right now all over this house. If you would say, that's me, would you just begin to shoot your hand straight towards heaven? I see a hand right here. I see a hand right here. I see a hand. Another hand. Yes. Anybody else? I see a hand up there. Yes. Come on, would you keep clapping? Would you pray something simple like this? Say, Jesus Christ, today I'm done running. I give you my life. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. And Jesus, because you rose in power, today I'm a brand new person. From this day forward, I'm going to begin to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. All over this house, would you shout amen? Would you clap one more time with me?
Thank you again for checking out our podcast. If you made the decision to give your life to Jesus today, we encourage you to visit our website. You can visit us at jrny.church to find resources, ask questions, and get more information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. Have a great rest of your week.